Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. I look forward to giving you this episode today. I think you should be able to like it. We actually processed our first batch of broiler chickens today on the farm, and so I thought that it might be good to explain to you how we do our chicken processing. And you might be thinking to yourself, how in the world does this relate to leaving a legacy? Well, a couple of things. First of all, it's part of stewardship farming. One of the things we talk about here on the Legacy Podcast is stewardship farming, being able to produce your own food and reuse resources and limit the amount of resources that you are consuming, and being able to raise chickens on your own farm and being able to produce them for yourself and for others is a way of doing that. Secondly, it's a great way to teach your children a skill set. And, of course, my children are learning about processing animals and processing chickens and taking care of the animals and able to learn skills that way. And then thirdly, it also is a value because it helps to maintain and to keep the freedom of small farms. Much of the food that we get today is manufactured through huge corporations and produced by huge corporations. And being able to know how to process your own chickens enables you to bypass some of that large corporate structure that can have control over your food system. So those are some ways, some reasons why it is important to process your own chickens. And so what we're going to talk about today is that very thing. So hopefully you'll be able to enjoy that and learn from it. I'm going to be able to include a lot of pictures on this episode, but I'm not going to put them on my regular website, which is thelegacypodcast.net, because I am moving to the new website, which is thelegacypodcast.com. And I will be putting up those there. So you'll be able to hear this audio. Maybe even you're hearing it now because of downloading it through the legacypodcast.net. But it's much easier to upload graphics and upload pictures and audios even through the new website. And so it will be on there. So that will give you another reason to check out the new website. And we are in the process of getting all that moved over. There is going to be some delay, and obviously there's going to be a little bit of some problems with the new website yet as the bugs are worked out. And so if you're over there at thelegacypodcast.com and you see some bugs, feel free to let me know where those are. You can reach me at steve@thelegacypodcast.com, or the other emails over at the other website are still valid, which is feedback@thelegacypodcast.net or steve@thelegacypodcast.net. All those will get the email to me. And you can certainly let me know what you think of the new website, as well as let me know of any of the bugs that are not yet worked. I know some of the buttons and some of the side panels and things like that aren't quite up and operational yet. And so just let me know what you think of that. That would be great. But we are transitioning over, and so you'll be able to find all the pictures that relate to this podcast over at thelegacypodcast.com. So check it out. Also, continue to tell your friends about us. You can like us on Facebook at Facebook/ The Legacy Podcast. You can also continue to send out and share the messages with others through the buttons that we have at each episode. And also, please feel free to leave comments either in iTunes or under each of the episodes themselves. That lets me know what you're thinking about and also allows the community to interact with one another regarding these things. And finally, if you haven't registered yet to be a member, I encourage you to do that. We can do that through the old website, which is legacypodcast.net. I'm working on getting it up and running for the new website, which is legacypodcast.com, and that should be up and running by the end of this week. So either place, you'll be able to connect with us and become a member. What is the value of becoming a member? Well, for right now, everything is free, and you're able to access the member section for free, which enables you to get currently two downloadable items. One is a debt snowball spreadsheet through Excel. The other one is a database that I've created regarding the different kinds of crops, different kinds of vegetables that you can plant in your garden, and some of the ways in which you can do that through layout and spacing and timing and things like that. So it should be a good resource for you. So anyway, be sure to become a member. Further The membership is going to continue to increase in value as I get more vendors, and as the membership increases, I'll be able to put more time into that and provide more and more resources for you all and connect with other vendors. And, of course, my goal with that is to be able to have a whole lot of vendors that offer their products at reduced price to my members, and then that would, of course, enable the value of that to increase. So be sure that you do that. So that takes care of the business for today's episode. So let's go ahead and talk about how we process chickens here at Bethel Family Farm. And I want to start by just saying we haven't got the system perfected by any means. We are still in the learning process, and we have learned from others who are still in the learning process. But this seems to be working pretty good for us. We processed 42 chickens today in about a half a day. And that includes from taking them to the crate, from the crate all the way into the freezer. So we'll talk about those steps. And really what it amounts to is about 11 steps as far as I could count them out. It's 11 steps from the time that they come from the crate into the freezer. And so let's walk through each of those in turn. So first of all, is actually getting them out of the pen is the first step. And so usually if they're in a small little pen, you have to get that near where all the processing facilities are. And so what we did is we just set up a little portable netting where they could come out of their regular pen. We carried them by hand over to the processing area and then put them in this little feather net type structure so that they would be close by. We wouldn't have to haul them back and forth. Efficiency when it comes to processing is critical, and so we wanted to make sure that they were all nearby when we began. So that's the first thing. The second thing we want to know about taking them from the crate is you don't want to feed them the day of or the night before you process them, because their craws will be full and they'll be much more difficult to get it out without it bursting and getting all over the chicken. So you want to make sure that they are hungry when you process them. So we did that, of course, last night. Once you take them from the crates, or from the net in our case, you want to put them into the killing cones. And, of course, I have pictures of these things, again, at thelegacypodcast.com where you can see those. But the killing cones themselves are basically just caution cones we put upside down, cut off the bottoms of them. There's four of them there, and that allows us to be able to kill four at a time. Or actually, we really pretty much do two at a time, but two are dying at any given time. And what we do is we put them upside down, pull their necks out, and then put a slit in their vein around their neck, which allows them to bleed out slowly. This is the most humane way for them to bleed out. And what it does is that basically they just end up falling asleep and fading off, and seems to be like the most humane way. Sometimes you've heard before about chickens running around with their head cut off, and how when you cut off their head, they actually still do run around, and that's not the best way to do it. So anyway, what we do is we put them in the caution cones, upside down, cut off their necks or slit their necks, and then let them bleed off slowly. And then once they go from the killing cones, they go into our scalder. And what we use for a scalder, of course, they have really high quality, high tech scalder equipment. We have not purchased any of those yet. So what we just do is we use one of those turkey fryers you can get. And we got one of these on sale from Craigslist a few years back. And it allows us to use propane to heat up the water in the fryer. And you want to work with temperature, at least we found you want to work with temperature about 150 degrees, maybe a little bit more than that, 155 degrees, something like that. And you don't put the bird in there the whole time. You dip it in there and then bring it out, and then dip it back in and bring it out. If you put it in there the whole time, of course, you're starting to cook the chicken, which you don't want to do. But you want to put it in there for just a short time, bob it in and out. And this allows the feathers to loosen up. And that's why you put it into the heat like that, is it allows the feathers to loosen up. One thing we've also found, a tip of the trade that we've learned from others as well, and that is that you want to put a little bit of soap, dish soap, something like that, you'd wash your dishes in, into the water itself. That helps loosen up the feathers and helps get rid of some of the pin feathers and things like that that would be on the chickens themselves. So that's another way for us to help with that. And then also we want to make sure that when you're testing to see whether it's ready to go to the next step, is when you pull the feathers to test them after they've been bobbing in and out of the scalder for a little while. You want to make sure that they come out pretty easily. So you shouldn't have to yank and pull the feathers. They should just kind of come out pretty easily when you pull them. And that's the way they're working, and they're ready to go into the next step. So step number four is our feather plucker. And what we do for that, of course, we purchased a actual quality feather plucker. It's probably the best purchase that we had when it comes to processing of chickens. It really makes the time that we spend with the chickens much more efficient, enabling us to get done a lot more quickly without a lot more difficulty. So the feather plucker itself, what it does is when you put the chickens in there, we usually put about two in at a time, is it hits the chicken up against these little fingers, the rubber fingers. If you look onto the picture, you can see the little rubber fingers. You can see examples of this being done on YouTube and things like that. People have used these feather pluckers for a while. And it hits against these fingers, and these fingers then remove the feathers and get it so that it is ready for the next stage. And so the feather plucker itself, the goal of that is to be able to get rid of the majority of feathers on the chicken, so that when it goes to the next stage, there's only just a few small feathers here and there in the tough areas that need to be done. So that brings us to step number five already, which for us is the station that we call the pin feathers, feet, and head removal. And so this usually is my oldest son, who is actually the one in charge of the chicken, he does the first three stages there, the moving from the crate to the killing cones, from the killing cones to the scalder, from the scalder into the feather plucker. And then once it moves from the feather plucker to this station, it goes to my two middle children, two boys, and they work on cutting off heads, cutting off legs, and or cutting off feet, and then working on getting the pin feathers. Now, usually after the feather plucker is done, you're going to have a few pin feathers here and there, especially right around the tail, on the wings, some of the more difficult areas for the feather plucker to get to, and those need to be removed. Sometimes there's also some, fatty deposits that were underneath the feathers that, kind of a yellow substance, and those need to be rubbed off and made it nice and clean, that kind of thing. And so that is done, removal of those items. And then what goes from there, it goes to the evisceration table. Usually I operate the evisceration table. And the first thing you want to do when it comes to eviscerating the chicken is you want to reach down from the neck and loosen up the craw and the esophagus. And this will allow you then to remove those from the exterior portion of the chicken rather than from the front. And it allowed to be much easily done. So you remove you loosen the craw and the windpipe, and then you make a lateral incision above the anus of the chicken when it's laying on its back, and then you remove all the offal. This is all the insides of the chicken. And if you want to save the livers or any of those things, you want to separate those out carefully, remove all the entrails, and make sure that nothing is burst open or cut open or anything like that. If it is, of course, you want to quickly wash all that out, remove it, and expose of it, dispose of it. And so you want to make sure all that's cleaned out. You also want to make sure that the lungs are removed. Now, some people don't do that at this stage. We do, and we remove the lungs. And the lungs are sometimes difficult to remove, but you want to get in there and scrape out with your fingers there on the, on the back side of the chicken, and right along the ribs. You have to scrape those out. Typically, they don't come out usually in one lump, but once those are out, then you have to make sure that you also remove the craw, and you have to pull pretty hard on that, and it'll pull through the neck and back out the back end. Same thing with the windpipe. Both of those usually come out somewhat together, and you should be able to stick your finger then from all the way around through the neck into the cavity of the chest, and everything should be clean. So all that is removed. We clean it out good with water, wash it all down good, make sure everything is nice and clean, and then it goes to step number seven, which is the cool tank. So this is just a vat that we have that we put cold water in, and then we put the chicken in there after this. Now, of course, up to this point, it's still pretty warm from being dunked a few times in the scalder, but when we put it into the cool tank, it immediately starts cooling the chicken again, which is really what it needs to happen. It gets that temperature down somewhat. This also helps to finish the bleeding out. If there's any blood left in the chicken, any of the blood left from the innards, anything like that, it is bled out in this cool tank, and it keeps it cool. Then it goes to step number 8, which is the quality control. And my wife usually takes care of that. And quality control's purpose is they make sure that all the lungs have been removed, and they double check that to make sure all that. Sometimes you can get a little piece of that stuck in there, and so they make sure that that is continually to be removed. Also, she makes sure that all the feathers are plucked, and any pin feathers that might be there, any of that yellow gunk that was supposed to be removed, all that's making sure that it's removed. And then also that there's no discoloration of the skin. We want to make sure that when we when we sell our chickens, that we are selling the highest of quality. If there's a little discoloration of the skin, something like that. Sometimes these chickens, we use the Cornish cross. They, don't have a lot of feathers sometimes, and they get sunburned actually out in the sun, and discolors their skin. We don't usually sell those. We use those as family chickens. Or sometimes we will cut them up as boneless, skinless, chicken breast, something like that, and sell those. But nonetheless, she makes sure that all the chickens look of highest quality and are packaged, or not packaged yet, but they are ready for packaging and they are of the highest quality. She actually puts a little slit through the back of there's some excess skin that was covering the cavity that is now opened for taking out all of the innards, and makes a little slit in that, and then she tucks up the legs up through that slit, which makes a nice tight little package. Looks like it's ready for roasting. And it goes from the quality control into what is called for us the chill tank, which is basically just freezers full of coolers full of iced water. And this then really gets the temperature down. Everything is nice now. They're starting to cool and bring everything down to where it is ready for the next step, which is bagging. So now we're on step number 10, working our way through this fist. I wish it took this fast to go actually through the process, but it doesn't. It's much easier to explain it than actually do it. But now we're on step number 10, which is the drying and bagging portion. Once it goes from the cold tank and it's been chilled and we're done processing all of them, then we will set them out for drying so that they're not a lot of water in the bags. And there's a lot of water in the bags and they're frozen that way, then, it just doesn't look very presentable. And so we want to make sure that it's presentable to our customers. And so we dry them out a little bit, just air dry them and make sure the cavity is all dried out inside. And that's where most of the moisture comes from. And then once they are dried, then we actually put them into the bags. Now we purchased these kind of shrink bags that when you put them into hot water, about 120 degrees or so, they shrink up around it and make a nice tight shrink sealed bag around the chicken. And so we've purchased those bags, and with those bags you get a little clamp that you put around a metal clamp around the edge the opening of the bag after you've wound it around a few times. And this then allows for the chicken to be nicely bagged. So we do the chilling. I'm sorry, from the chill tank, we go to the drying and the bagging. So once we're done with that stage, then we take it inside to my wife, who actually has the scale and has the hot water ready and has the labels ready. And she will then take those bags, put them into the hot water with the chickens, and shrink up the bags around the chicken, puts a little hole in there, and then over the little hole to where the air releases, she will put our sticker. Now, we have a sticker that has our farm label on there. It explains, that it's a whole chicken and has all the necessary regulatory requirements on there for us to be able to sell the chicken and be approved, and explains safe handling instructions and all that kind of thing. And so that's our sticker that we put on there, and it has a place for the amount of weight. So she weighs it, and then it goes from there into the freezer. So that is how we process chickens step by step. Be sure that you take a look at the website, thelegacypodcast.com, for pictures that are associated with this podcast, and that will enable you to see a little bit better how we do things. Hopefully that helps. Maybe there's someone out there listening who is wanting to get into chickens and process them, and this kind of gives you an idea of what to look forward to and how to make that. Feel free, if you've got questions, to give me a ring back or give me an email back, and you can do that in one of three ways. You can email me at feedback@thelegacypodcast.net or at steve@thelegacypodcast.net, or you can reach me at steve@thelegacypodcast.com. And with that, this has been episode 25 of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? Someone who believes.